Good morning, everybody. How does it feel to be one of the beautiful people? Man, I wouldn't know. I mean, I guess actually last Sunday around 7 o'clock, I felt like one of the beautiful people. I hope you guys did too. It's been an up and down ride for me on the DFS train so far this year. I've had, after we've done, what, 5 slates so far, this is going to be the 6th. I've had 3 pretty good weeks, 2 pretty bumpy weeks so far. I have not really lit anything up. I haven't had the week from hell either. And, you know, hopefully that won't be this week. And obviously that's what we're here for. We're here to minimize the bumps and hopefully accentuate the highs. And, you know, this week is not... it's not an easy week for me. I don't know how you guys are experiencing this slate. And I'll just say right now that this is not my final word. I'm going to do a quick Sunday pod as well to let you guys know where, you know, the next 24 hours take me. Maybe not quite 24, 20, something like that. I'm recording this at about 1 o'clock on Saturday. So what we're going to do here is we're going to walk through the slate a little bit, and then we're going to walk through the positions. I'm going to tell you guys where I'm at with a lot of these players, and we'll differentiate between cash and GPP and just sort of take a slightly more narrowed down look at the player pool than I was able to give you guys on Thursday. But there's a lot of stuff going on this week. There's a lot of, well, not a lot, but there's a couple things that could change the way we look at this thing, and a lot of it could break Saturday morning. So this is a week we need to stay on our toes. It's a week where if we're going to put a lot of action out there, we want to be as informed as we can, because there are definitely some potholes and pitfalls out there. Let's get through this thing. So we're going to sort of start with the slate and then work into a position by position thing. So we'll start with the 1 o'clock games. First thing I want to get into, and we won't spend a whole lot of time on this one because it's not a game I plan on investing in very heavily. It's Seattle at Cleveland. You know, Will Disley is a thing at this point. Very solid play so far with big playability. Gives him some ceiling to go with the floor. This guy's caught 23 of 26 targets. He's seen a solid 6 targets a game since week one. So I think Disley at 49 certainly is in play this week. The Browns, you know, they're sort of a run funnel, so we don't want to get too excited. But obviously Disley works off the run. So I think, you know, Carson and Disley, Carson's at 6K, certainly in play, I think, in this game, cleanly. I think if you wanted to get into a GPP build here, Lockett is certainly someone you could consider. He's got a good matchup here. On the other side, OBJ at 68, just, man, it's like so frustrating. I can't even consider him for cash. But there's too many ways this thing doesn't work for Cleveland for me to consider him in cash. Same thing with Chubb, who I think is well-priced at 7,300 units. But, you know, there's too many ways this doesn't happen for him where I'm going to, like, stick him in my cash lineup or something like that. So there's some stuff to consider here for GPPs. But for cash, I think Disley and Carson really are the only places I'd be willing to go here. And really, Carson's the only guy, I think, who's really close to being in my cash build for what the, for what it's worth. Now, let's move down to the next game on my list. That's going to be a really hot game this week. That's going to be the Texans at Kansas City. Obviously, everybody and their mother is going to be in on this game. I'm definitely going to have action in this game. There's no question. But, you know, I do think we want to look at this game from a sober angle and not look at it from a standpoint of excitement. So let's try to look at how we think this game is probably going to break out. And I think the person we need to focus on here, unfortunately, is Bill O'Brien. Now, when we look at games like this, there's a tendency to get optimistic. And then we have the Vegas line. It's the biggest one of the week. Both teams over 25. Kansas City teasing 30. Obviously, this game projects to be high scoring. And I think it probably will be. But do we want to buy into this thing becoming a shootout? It's interesting. I mean, there's no doubt when you look at these two teams that that possibility exists. And I think particularly if we can get Kansas City out of the gate early, because I think the disposition of the Texans is the one we have to worry about. I don't think we have to worry about Kansas City becoming a run-heavy, you know, suck clock kind of team against this Texans team. I just don't see how it would happen. But when you look at it from the other side, as much as we want these two teams to come out and have a lot of fun, look, Bill O'Brien is obviously not about fun. It's not his middle name. And the thing that Kansas City has been giving up is the run. Teams have been able to run on them. And when you consider that they've got an explosive passing game that you want to slow down, there's no reason teams wouldn't consider the run. We've got Carlos Hyde here. We can get into a narrative thing if you want. I'm not really inclined to do that. I don't think the fact that Hyde was on this team recently is going to play much of a factor in this game. But I do think that Hyde, the fact that Hyde's running reasonably well, the fact that the Texans like to run, and the fact that running can be a way to get this game under control for the Texans, it's something we have to consider. So, a couple things. Watson and Cash, I think, might be more risky than some people realize. I think there's going to be a tendency to go to him over Mahomes because he's cheaper. Personally, I think I'm more into Watson as a GPP stacking guy, personally. I think that's the way I'm probably going to go. I'm probably not going to use him in cash. But I do really want to have, you know, my hand in that this week. I definitely want to have some Watson lineups, that, you know, for sure. And there's so many people in this game who could go off. And again, I was talking about contingencies. This game is one of them. Kenny Stills, very big in this game. If Kenny Stills does not play, I promise you, I will have a Watson lineup with Kiki Kuti in it. No doubt. There's just no doubt about it. Because think about it. Stills is out. That means Kiki is going to pretty much own the slot. Now, Kiki didn't kill us last week. I put him in my cash lineup and I cashed, even though he didn't really hit. But he didn't kill me. He had like three targets. I think he caught three or four targets, caught three of them for like 75 yards, I think. And that was good enough. But this week, different paradigm, right? And again, we're talking about if Stills isn't there, he'll be the dedicated third receiver in the slot. Now, you're the Chiefs. You don't want Nuke to beat you, obviously. And if you're not paying attention to Fuller this week after last week, there's something wrong with you. The ball's going to flow to Kuti. I think there's a pretty good chance of that. Now, if Stills is in there, we're looking at a shared third, fourth situation, then they both become unplayable to me. But if Stills is out, Kuti becomes a very interesting player. And it's nice that this is a 1 o'clock game in that regard. So the earlier we find out, the better, obviously. So we've got the Stills-Kuti thing here. Obviously, everybody is going to be like jumping into Fuller a week late. Probably I'm not going to be doing that. I'll have him in a GPP stack or something like that. Nuke, I think, is the better play. He's not that much more. At 7,400, he's not elite from a price perspective. I mean, I'd rather play Nuke at 74 than Kelsey at, you know, for 400 less. You know, part of me wants to consider the Texans running backs, but I think there are just other places we can go with that money this week. And then on the Chiefs side of the ball, I think Mahomes is very cash viable. We didn't give enough respect last week to the Detroit defensive backs. They're very good. We probably should have given them respect going in, and I didn't. It almost cost me. Luckily, Mahomes gave me just enough to cash in my cash games. But this week, I think Mahomes is a much better play at home against a defense that tends to get loose on the back end. Now, the question with Mahomes, and it's a tough one, is how and who or if to stack. Now, Kelce is, I think, the obvious chip because you know his role isn't going to change significantly. The problem is Texans handle tight ends fairly well. I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't think Kelce's off the board at all. I think he's one of the best plays at the position, but there are reasons for concern with him. Now, Tyreek Hill, we talked about Stills. Hill is just as important, more important probably. Because if Hill plays, it changes everything. And Jim Hackett and I talked about this on the podcast, and he actually brought it up first, and I agree with him, that if Tyreek Hill plays and he's starting, I think that changes Damian Williams' potentiality. I think that makes him more dangerous in the pass game. And the Texans are, you know, vulnerable to running backs in the pass game. So if Tyreek Hill is healthy, like a Mahomes Tyreek Damian stack would be a very interesting tournament stack. Now, as far as my cash lineup, it's hard to take any of these Chiefs players other than Mahomes in a cash lineup for me. Maybe Pringle at 3,500 if Hill and Watkins are both out. That could be a play. But the problem with the Chiefs receivers is there are just too many of them. When you factor in, like, again, let's assume that either Tyreek or Watkins is active. Then we have DeMarcus. Then we have Hardman, and we have Pringle. It's just too many guys to bet on one. There's just too good a chance that you're going to miss. And a lot of these guys haven't paid off this year because there's so many of them. So this game is more tricky, I think, than a lot of people are going to want to think. They're going to want to play this game, and what people tend to do is they find reasons in their mind to do it. So what I want you guys to do is, if you're going to get into this game, and I think you should, if it's a GPP, try to make sure that your lineups are consistent for the way the game's going to flow. So you don't necessarily have to predict game flow here, but you have to make sure that your lineups make sense within a potential game flow, right? So if this thing goes crazy, shootout, the Chiefs go crazy early, and Tyreek Hill is active, there's a pretty good chance that the stack you want going is going to be Mahomes, Tyreek, and then maybe one other player, maybe Damian, like I mentioned. On the other side, if you think the game's going to go shootout, I think a Watson, Nuke, Kiki added if Stills doesn't start makes sense based on the way we think the game is going to flow. But what if we think that this game is going to be sort of like shootout second half, but teams feeling each other out in the first half? So what if we think that Carlos Hyde will have a respectable first half and keep this game from just going ham? So then you might want to try to sort of get a taste here or there. So you probably want to take, you know, pick a different game as your first game that you want to work, and then maybe grab a piece in this game. You know, that's another way of going after it. So I hope I'm making sense here, but what you want to do is maybe pick, if you're attacking this game maybe with a couple GPP lineups, think of the two or three ways that you think this game is most likely to play out, and then create stacks that work with that game flow. Okay? So that's all I have for this game right now. I'm just going through the pricing to see if I sort of forgot anything here. I think I hit most of everything I want to hit. And again, there's nobody here that's really not playable. But part of this game right now is that there's so much flux. We don't know about Tyreek. We don't know about Watkins. We don't know about Stills. And those guys have such a huge effect on this game. So this is, I guess the last thing I would say about this game is make sure that you have Sunday time available. Because if you try to build this in advance and then the deactivations are different than what you thought, you're going to have to go back and take a look at this and reassess and maybe make some changes. So just sort of understand that. And, you know, another thing, this is one game where, and I joked around with you guys on Tuesday. I told you I was sort of sick, and I absolutely was. And I fell asleep when I was watching last week's Kansas City game. I don't even remember the second half. So I'm just being honest. So one of the things I'm going to do when I'm done with this podcast, when I finish updating the rankings and do my EEI article, is I'm going to be rewatching last week's Kansas City game. And one of the things I hope to do is get a better feel for how they're lining up these receivers in terms of Pringle, Hardman, Robinson. And I'm going to try to project in my mind what would happen, where guys would be lining up, depending on these other injuries. You know, if Watkins is out, if Hill is out, if only Hill is out, if only Watkins out, if they're both out. I'm going to try to get a feel for that. So that's something that I probably normally would have done by now, but I haven't this week. My apologies. But, you know I put in the time, folks. It's just a matter of finding the time. Anyway, let's move on to another game. Most exciting game of the docket. Kidding. Redskins at Dolphins. Now, the inclination with a game like this is to just sort of pass it off, to just blow it off, move on to the next game. There's a couple things I think worth mentioning in this game. First of all, these teams are terrible, which opens things up for them in this game. Normally, we sort of, you know, unless we find a way to get one of these guys active from these teams, we just sort of blow the offenses off because they're so overmatched. But they're going up against bad teams this week, so they sort of open each other up a little bit. So, you know, McLaurin is a guy that obviously you guys know how much I love McLaurin. I was on him before the draft, but he's at 6K now. So we got to spend real money to get our hands on McLaurin. Now we're buying into Case Keenum on a level where we need him to come through. That's different than buying in at 4,500 or 4,000 like we were early in the season. But having said that, the Dolphins are banged up in the secondary. There's definitely potential here. So to me, McLaurin in a GPP makes sense. No way I'm doing it in cash. The other person you have to look at on this team, and look, on DraftKings, I don't know how he's priced on FanDuel and some other sites. So, you know, Adrian Peterson is worth consideration this week. Callahan's the new coach. He's the offensive line guy. He's old school. This guy wants to fire up Adrian Peterson. Peterson could get 30 carries this week. Wouldn't shock me one bit. Now, he could do that while only gaining 65 yards and catching no passes and scoring no touchdowns. He could let us down even with 30 carries. I'm not saying, like, build your week around AP. Don't do that. But at 4,500 units, I mean, he's viable if you want to go that way. And certainly on sites like FanDuel, if he's well-priced, and I didn't look because I haven't played FanDuel in a couple weeks, and I'm pretty focused on DraftKings, but if he's at a playable number on FanDuel, that's not too bad. On the Dolphins side, I think Kenyon Drake at 4,400 units, even cheaper than AP, in a game where they could fall behind pretty easily. Vegas has them falling behind, even though they're home. And again, the Dolphins aren't trying to win football games, and they're trying to trade Drake, according to some people. So Drake could get some touches here in the passing game at 4,400 units. Wouldn't shock me if this guy got 8 targets. So, you know, somebody to consider. I mean, I don't have Drake in any lineups, but I've almost pulled the trigger a couple times. Moving over to the Eagles and Minnesota, I think both defenses could arguably be in play here. I'm more on the Minnesota defense, and it's only if I have to pay up that high. But I do think Minnesota at 2,600 at home, that's a pretty good price for a pretty good defense. And, you know, the Eagles are a pretty good team in terms of protection. They're not going to be able to run the ball in this game. So, you know, the Vikings are going to get a shot at Carson Wentz. And for 2,600 units, it's a pretty good play. Now, in terms of guys I would play in this game, on the Eagles side, really, it's just Ertz at 5,400. And I don't know that I have enough ceiling here for him because Minnesota's so good defensively. I do think I don't think he's going to hurt you because I think he's going to catch 5, 6, 7 balls for 60, 70, 80 yards. But, you know, I don't see much past that for him. And I really don't trust any of the other players in this matchup from the Eagles' side of the ball. On the Viking side, I think if you've got enough guts, Diggs is in play because the Eagles are a huge pass funnel. Any smart person is going to throw the ball against the Eagles. But the Vikings have shown us that they may not throw even when they should. Now, they did throw some last week, and Cousins had a good game, and you never know. But the thing about Kirk Cousins' big game last week, he was 22 of 27. He only threw 27 passes. So, you know, even when this guy has a good game, you know, it's 27 pass attempts. Now, he was extremely efficient, and he threw for 300 yards and 2 touchdowns. It looks good on the score sheet at the end of the day, but if we're looking at it from a standpoint of analyzing his future, we're not real happy with the pass attempts. So, you know, Kirk Cousins is, generally speaking, a thin proposition. He is cheap this week. You know, there are reasons to consider him, but overall, I'm looking at Thielen and Diggs. I would rather maybe look at one of them in a GPP, hope that most of the targets fall their way. And in that way, Thielen at 67, I think I'd rather pay up for him. But the truth of the matter is most likely I'm probably not going to have any of them rostered. Now, Dalvin Cook is still absolutely in play, but the thing is we have to count on Minnesota using him correctly. We have to count on the Vikings going away from the run and getting him 6, 7, 8, 9 targets in the pass game and hoping he hits that way, finds the end zone, and pays off. But even in that scenario, it's going to be tough for him to pay off at his cost. So, you know, I've got a lot of Dalvin and seasonal, and I'm probably not going to be using him in DFS this week a whole lot. Moving down to the Saints at the Jaguars, the problem here is I think there's going to be a lot of running in this game. I think there are definitely some people we can consider. I like Kamara in this game quite a bit. If, I mean, the matchup is sort of tough, but I just think he's going to get a ton of touches if he's healthy. But now we have the concern with his ankle, which does open up the possibility. I mean, without question, opens up the possibility that we could be using Lat Murray in this game, right? So, you know, Lat Murray, you know, I mean, think about it, right? He's sitting there at 3,700 units. If Kamara doesn't play, I think we're looking at 15 to 20 touches at 3,700 units for a guy who's going to own the goal line and who can catch the football. So he would definitely move in to my cash lineup at that point. So that's something worth thinking about. The other thing that we need to think about on the Saints side relates to the Jaguars. Now, if Jalen Ramsey is out with the back, like it sounds like he's going to be, now there's some, you got to keep your head in a swivel here. And this is another one of these things, which is why coming up with my lineups a day in advance this week is sort of tough. I love Michael Thomas at 7,800 units. Now he's up, what, from memory, 1,200 units over last week. But if Jalen Ramsey's out and if Alvin Kamara is out, I mean, Michael Thomas got to be looking at 10 plus targets. So he definitely moves into my GPP window. And maybe even my cash window if Alvin Kamara were to be out along with Jalen Ramsey. So that's something to look at. On the Jacksonville side of the ball, we have a few guys to talk about. DJ Chark at 5,500 units in GPPs, absolutely worth a look. Man, I don't know if I've gotten quite to the point where I'm okay with Chark in cash. I think if I was going to go cash, I'd probably go DD Westbrook, save $400, and just feel a little bit better about my floor. And Gardner Minshew's 5K in this game. I just feel like the New Orleans defense is good enough where I'm just not quite ready to go there, although I've been impressed to heck with Minshew. And then Leonard Fournette, the guy's going to get 20-plus touches, 6,700 units. You have to at least consider him at that number. So those are the guys I'm really looking at in this game. Shark and Westbrook, I think, are both excellent plays. And then Fournette is a good volume-based play on the Jacks side of the ball. Let's move down to the Bengals and the Ravens. I mean, on the Ravens side, Hollywood Brown, no practice all week. There's no way I'm playing Hollywood Brown. Listen, maybe I'll look like a moron on Monday and he'll score 3 touchdowns. But even if they put him out there, I'm worried that he's a decoy. I'm worried that, you know, that he's only going to be on a limited amount of snaps or whatever. So I'm off Hollywood this week, even if they play him. I bet they don't. Lamar Jackson, the nice price at 6,900 units. In a game where, a couple things here. First of all, if he's missing Hollywood and Andrews is banged up, this is going to be a run-based game. The Bengals are very tough running up the middle. They're weak on the edges, and Carlos Dunlap is out of this game. This really shapes up as a game where Lamar could do a lot of keeping and pick up a lot of yardage on the outside. So I like his floor this week. And as far as stacking him with somebody, it would have to be Andrews. I don't see anybody else that I want to stack that has enough upside. I guess the one guy we want to talk about here, I mean, Cincinnati's just, I think Levitan was saying it the other day, 29th team in the NFL in terms of yards allowed per play. I mean, they're a sieve. They just give it up. The question is, how are they going to give it up? I think, you know, Mark Ingram's a good cash play, but I'm concerned that, you know, there's not enough upside for a GPP. And I even have some cash concerns that, you know, if he doesn't get a touchdown, he could be even disappointing in cash. I do feel like he's a pretty good play this week, though. I just, you know, he is dominant in the middle, not the edges, and sometimes he doesn't catch passes. So even though this is a good matchup, I see some ways that he doesn't pay off. So I'm a little bit concerned about him. Maybe I have it backwards. Maybe he should be more GPP than cash. But he definitely looks like a strong play this week. Tyler Boyd, I like him for floor. But one thing we have to look at realistically is if the Ravens want to take him out, they can. You know, the Bengals aren't throwing enough at you where you can't take a player away. If they want to take Boyd out, they can. So there's some risk there. Now let's drop down to a game where there's a lot to talk about. The 49ers at the Rams. Man, this is a this is a game I really want to watch, and I'm really hoping that it's going to be on local television so I can kick back and watch the long version of this football game, because it's just going to be so much fun. Two really good coaching staffs going at each other. They're familiar with one another from last year, so this is just going to be a lot of fun. Now, as far as the game itself, you know, San Francisco's defense has been playing really well. It's going to be hard for the Rams in this game. They're probably, almost definitely at this point, going to be without Gurley. Malcolm Brown, basically a free square play at 4,300 units. And I do think the Rams are going to try to run here. Now, we're on DK, and for Malcolm Brown to pay off, you know, 20 carries for 90 yards isn't going to cut it. We need him to, like, hit his bonus. We need him to get in the zone. We need him to catch a couple passes. This is not a fait accompli. I want people to know that. The reason I'm going with Malcolm Brown is simply that he's a great play at that cheap a price. I am not expecting him to, like, lift my team this week, just, you know, for what it's worth. Now, he could, but, you know, if they get the passing game going, forget about it. He'll have a good day. But let's remember, the Rams' O-line has not been that great. They've been sort of mediocre. On the other side, Kittle is my cash tight end this week as long as he plays. I really like Hooper as well. I may even split up a little bit this week and do a little of both depending on how the lineups shake out. But really, really liking Kittle this week. That groin that popped up is bumming me out, but it doesn't sound like it's going to keep him out. Talib is out for the Rams, which gives them not a lot of options because, you know, they could just put Talib on Kittle. I think they've done that in the past, but they're not going to be able to. It's not an option. So, you know, the Rams coverage is not going to be all that it could be. I really like Kittle in this football game at 5,200 units on DK. I think Breida at 5,100 units is viable. Same thing with Tevin Coleman at 44, but they cap each other's upside, and we don't know about the goal line. And right now the receivers are a shot in the dark. Here's the one interesting thing. If for some reason Kittle was ruled out, we could get interesting, into using the receivers here. I think Deebo Samuel becomes a good play. The problem is we'd have to take lineups apart. This is a 4 o'clock game. So that's where this thing becomes problematic. I don't think I'm going to really build any teams around this particular game, but I definitely think I'm going to be pulling players out of this game, particularly Kittle and Malcolm Brown. But certainly Everett at tight end at 3,600 units is worth a look. Woods at 5,600 is so cheap, he's worth a look. Cooper Kupp really priced up now at 7,100, and San Francisco's not a great slot matchup, you know. But on the other side of the coin, you know, San Francisco's going to be getting after Goff. He's going to have to get rid of the ball quickly. So that helps Goff. Helps Woods to some extent when he's in the slot, and it helps Everett. So there's a lot of ways we can look at this game. If Bosa's having a big day, you know, that could help Kupp in terms of targets. So there's a lot of ways we could go in that game. I definitely will continue to sort of wind down my take on that. If we hear anything about Kittle, I will be talking about that on the update tomorrow. Now let's go down and let's talk about the game that this might be my favorite game on the slate. We're talking the Birds versus the Birds, Falcons at the Cardinals. And you can probably hear that I'm losing my voice a little bit. I apologize on that. And we're already at the 30-minute mark on a podcast that I was hoping to do inside of 30 minutes. So failure on my part. Sorry, guys. We still got a ways to go here. So as I mentioned earlier, Hooper's a great play, and he's in a positive matchup with a good price. All kinds of reasons to play Austin Hooper this week. Monster ceiling for Julio, but obviously touchdowns can be a little flighty with him. So I'm able to get Julio into my cash lineup, and I'm sort of hemming and hawing on whether I actually want to do it or not. A lot of stuff on the Atlanta side that's playable. Matt Ryan at 6,400 units, absolutely playable. He's one of the four quarterbacks that's really I've got in cash consideration, which I'll talk about in a bit. Everybody on the Atlanta side is viable. And you go over to the Cardinal side, same kind of thing. They could be chasing in this game. Vegas thinks they'll be chasing even though they're at home. Now, this is where we get to the interesting part here. Kirk, I think, is going to play. I think he's good money at 5,200. Fitz is good money at 6,100. These guys are going to get a lot of targets. Atlanta gives up receptions. No problem there. Kyler, I think, is an excellent play. He's in my cash discussion as well. Both of the quarterbacks here. That's my biggest problem is even if I went with this game, I can't figure out which quarterback I want to use in cash. It's just that good. Now, the problem with this game is the running backs on the Cardinals side. We were, for DFS purposes, sort of hoping DJ would be out. It looks like he's going to be able to play. This is huge. We want to be on top of this. If, for some reason, DJ is ruled out early enough, we definitely want Edmonds at 4,600 units in our lineups as a starter. It doesn't look like we're going to have to deal with that, but it's still something to consider because they haven't announced that DJ is going to go. Unfortunately, it's a late game, and we could get this announcement too late to help us. Here's the one little wrinkle. If you set your lineups and you've got Malcolm Brown in there and you've got some money to play with, you could find a way to switch Edmonds in for Malcolm Brown because I think Edmonds is a much better play than Brown if Edmonds is at 46. Well, Edmonds is, but if he's starting at 46. So that's something to think about. If you can build yourself in, say, $300 worth of wiggle room, that could be a real opportunity. Sorry about that phone call there. So there are definitely ways we might want to create some wiggle room for ourselves to get Chase Edmonds in on the off chance that David Johnson gets ruled out. I'm actually, in typical paranoid fashion, going to go make sure that this hasn't happened like while I'm recording. But yeah, right now we're still getting David Johnson likely to play. And I think that's the way it's going to probably work out. So unfortunately, you know, I think we're going to get more Chase Edmonds, but I don't think we're going to get enough Chase Edmonds to really consider playing him. So unfortunately, that sort of knocks that spot out. I love DJ at 7,600 units in this game, but I'm not going to risk an early knockout with the back injury, and I don't feel good enough about it, DJ leaving early to go play Edmonds on the suspicion that he'll leave early. So unfortunately, we don't get a clean play here. But this game is still excellent. Kyler's still great. You can play him naked. You can stack him with either Fitz or Kirk or both. And then the Ryan stack on the other side, Ryan with Hooper or Ryan with Julio Hooper, even Ryan with Julio Ridley Hooper, I think is viable. Or any one of those three if you've got a feeling. But this is a game I really like. Moving down to a game I don't particularly like because I think it's going to be a lot of running and a lot of slow pace are the Titans at the Broncos. You could get into Sutton at 5K. I think that's reasonable. Lindsay at 5,300 is certainly reasonable in a GPP. Derrick Henry at 6,100 is reasonable. I think he'll get the touches in this game. But, you know, Broncos are pretty good against the run. This game just feels ugly. Everything's too thin for me to really get excited about it. I don't really like the defenses in this game either because, again, I just think it's going to be a low play total game. Moving down to the Jets and the Cowboys. Now, I told you guys on Thursday that this is a game that I really liked. I told you Michael Gallup is a guy I really liked. Nothing has really changed there. I think the Dak stack with Robbie Anderson on the other side in a GPP makes a lot of sense. So Dak with Cooper and Gallup and maybe Robbie Anderson or maybe Cooper with just Gallup and Robbie, something like that. I really like that stack. If you're not feeling Robbie, you could go with Crowder at the same price. You could even mix it up if you were going multi-entry. For me, this would have to be sort of a cheap entry because I'm not going to throw speculative high-cost entries in this type of scenario. But you could stack one with Robbie, one with Crowder if you were in like a $5 pool, something like that. This is a game I really like. Where I'm struggling with this game is moving it from GPP to cash. Right now, I've got Gallup in my cash lineup, and it feels like maybe it's too thin for cash, but I just love him against the Jets' second and third corners. And, you know, the Jets are going to make Dak uncomfortable. I could even see the Jets turning this game upside down, but even if the Jets do well, that's going to lend itself to Dak taking shots downfield, aiming himself at the Jet weakness. The Jets are very aggressive, but when they don't get there, which is going to be a fair amount of the time, they're going to be leaving themselves wide open. And I mean wide open on the back end. So this is a game I really like. I could spend more time on this one, but we're already at 35 minutes, and I want to go through the plays at each position. So now we're going to move away from the slate, and we're going to look at the quarterbacks, the receivers, the running backs, then the tight ends. And then I'm going to talk a little bit about my cash lineup before we get out of here. And I know this podcast is getting a little long. I will do my very best to not get too long-winded. But hey, you guys got an F skip button. You can always jump around. So let's get into this. At quarterback, right now in my cash lineup, I've got Mahomes because I'm able to get up to the number. But I'm definitely open-minded to going to Lamar, to Kyler, and to Matt Ryan. Those are really my four finalists for my cash lineup. And, you know, it's interesting. I mean, I was thinking about maybe adding Ingram to maybe add some safety to Lamar, maybe do a Lamar-Ingram stack. And I was thinking about maybe going naked with Mahomes and not playing him with anything. There's a lot of ways I could go. So I really haven't made up my mind at quarterback. So right now I'm just going to go through the list of the guys that I just like in general. And tomorrow we'll get into who I maybe chose as my cash QB. And for all I know, I may split the baby this week, which I normally don't do. I always have one cash lineup. Maybe I'll tweak my way into two this week. We'll see. But Mahomes, Watson, I mentioned earlier, more GPPs with Watson for me this week, but 100% I'm going to have a Watson lineup. Lamar Jackson, same kind of thing. Really more focused on GPPs, but I'm considering him in cash. Kyler Murray, a little bit more cash than GPP this week, but definitely going to have a Kyler. I mean, if I put him in cash, I'll add a GPP lineup to it. I told you guys last week, I tend to throw my cash lineup into at least one GPP just in case. Because, you know, you work so hard on something, you build the floor enough. He's like, hey, what if this thing hits for ceiling? I want to get a piece of that. One of my biggest sob stories was one time I put a cash lineup. I think it was Johnny Rumford's GPP, and I put up about a 240, and it was the only thing I put that lineup in. Oh, it was so heartbreaking and soul-crushing. But Dak Prescott, I mentioned, next guy up. Definitely doing some GPPs with Dak. Don't think I'm going to go cash there. Gardner Minshew, I'm thinking he could be viable in cash, but I'm probably not going to use him. I could see him being interesting in maybe some small field tournaments. Because I do think he's got a nice floor. Kirk Cousins also, small field GPPs. I think he's viable. That's all. Probably all I'm going to use him for. And then, you know, I think this is sort of silly, but I keep looking at what I can do with the Jets when I take Darnold and Robbie Anderson and Crowder. You put the three of them together, I feel like I'm capturing quite a bit of offense because I think they're going to have to throw because I think they're going to be trailing. The problem that I'm having with it, and I actually sort of like creating a little block there. The problem is we don't have the upside plays to make it pay off. Like, I can get that lineup down with a lot of cash to spare, but then what am I using the cash on? Like, McCaffrey's off the main slate. It's an interesting idea, but because of the way the games line up for me this week, I can't find those players that I want to jam in. So it's sort of a great jam-in block with nobody to jam in on it, if that makes any sense. Okay, let's go over to the running backs. A lot of guys that I'm considering, but a lot of these guys are sort of dependent on things breaking, so some of them will certainly fall by the wayside. Kamara may end up being hurt, but I'm definitely interested in him at 8K if they say he's good to go. Zeke, I think, is viable in some ways, but I feel like this game is going to go away from him in terms of flow. So Kamara and Zeke, I think, are viable, but I'm probably not going to be involved. Chris Carson, I like quite a bit at 6K. He's in consideration for cash. Nick Chubb, 7,300. I feel like he's underpriced compared to some of the big names, but there are obviously ways that game can get away from him in terms of game flow. He's more of a GPP play for me. Same thing with Fournette, who I think is well-priced. I just don't have a feel for him this week. I'd rather go with Le'Veon Bell and save $300 and feel like I'm getting the same kind of volume with more guaranteed targets. Mark Ingram, we've talked about. I certainly think he's viable at 6,600 units, although I think I'm sort of hemming and hawing. I think he's more GPP maybe than cash. I've changed my mind within this podcast. Derrick Henry, I think, is a GPP play. Lindsey's a GPP play. We talked about Damian Williams, who I think I'm becoming more and more interested in him. I like him if Tyreek Hill is active. That's sort of my big thing there. I mean, I like him in general this week, but to really sort of buy into him, you know, as a guy who makes multiple big plays, I think it helps a lot if Hill is on the field for him. We talked about Adrian Peterson. Certainly, I think on some other platforms, he could be a really interesting play. I definitely think there are some applications for him, maybe in cash if you don't like any of the other lower running back plays. I'm not on him in any lineup yet, but he's going to get a lot of touches at 4,500 units. Devontae Freeman, I think, is GPP viable, not cash viable. Matt Breida, interesting, but I'm not using him. Kenyon Drake, I like in some GPP builds at 4,400. I think he gets 7 to 8 targets. Chase Edmonds, we've talked about. You need things to break right to use him. That's looking low probability now. And then the big one, Malcolm Brown at 4,300 units, currently in my cash lineup. And then we talked about Dalvin Cook as well. I think the problem with him is cost. You know, if he were 7,000, I'd be all over him. At 8,400, it's a little bit tougher. The thing about him is we have to count on them playing it right. We have to count on Minnesota seeing the lay of the land and going away from their staple. I don't know if we can count on that. Moving down to the tight ends, we've sort of been through all these when we went through the lineups, but the guys I'm really focused on right now are Kelce, Kittle, Ertz, Hooper, Disley, Andrews, and Gerald Everett. The interesting thing about that is most of those guys fall between 4,800 and 5,400 if you look at the pricing, with Everett being low at 36 and Kelce being high at 7,000. It's really going to come down to what my build looks like and which guys fit. I like all of these guys about the same. The guy I love is Kittle, but now we've got that groin. So as long as Kittle's groin isn't a thing, as long as we don't hear any more about it, he's probably going to be my cash tight end. If I move off of him, I'm going to be moving to Hooper. And then the rest of these guys I'm looking at more as GPP plays. Let's just look at these receivers, and there's a lot of them. And then I'll get you guys out of here. Hopefully this podcast ends up under 50 minutes. Julio Jones, love him at 8K in GPPs. Not quite there with him on cash yet, but he's in the discussion. DeAndre Hopkins, I like in GPP and cash at 7,400 unit. Cooper Kupp at 71. Not as high on him as in weeks past, but he's definitely in the discussion. Tyreek Hill at 6,900 units. Not going to use Tyreek Hill in cash, but I will use him to justify using Mahomes in cash. And then if he's active at 6,900 units, I will have him in several GPP builds, even though I can't stand the guy. Michael Thomas, we spoke about him. Ramsey is the key. As long as Ramsey stays out, I like Michael Thomas pretty much everywhere. Amari Cooper, I like in GPPs. Can't pull the trigger in cash because I like Gallup just as much and I save $1,400. Tyler Boyd, I like him, you know, as sort of a safety play, maybe a cash play. Not really on him as much in GPPs. Odell Beckham, GPP, not cash. Tyler Lockett, GPP, not cash. Larry Fitzgerald, cash or GPP, I'm cool. Will Fuller, more GPP. DJ Shark, definitely like Shark this week, but do think he will draw the shadow coverage. So I think, you know, he's more of a GPP play. Michael Gallup, we spoke about him. Definitely one of my favorites this week, 5,600 units. Love him stacked with Dak. And I also like him. Well, I've got him in my cash lineup. I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to have the guts to keep him there, but right now that's where I'm at. Christian Kirk at 5,200, like him a lot. Calvin Ridley at 5,700, not a bad play. Cortland Sutton at 5K, not a bad play. Terry McLaurin at 6K, I like him in cash. I like the Kansas City guys, Mecole Hardman, DeMarcus Robinson. I like those guys as part of GPP lineups. Pringle is a guy I may be warming up to in cash depending on how this thing shakes out with the injuries with the other players. Robbie Anderson for the Jets and Crowder for the Jets. I think Crowder is more of a cash play. Anderson's more of a GPP play. Anybody else here we want to get into? Oh, Kiki Kuti. Definitely a guy that I want to be involved in if Stills is out. So that's the thing about this week. We still have a lot of contingency stuff that we don't know about. As that stuff becomes clear, our lineups, or at least my lineups, will become more clear. And, you know, there's some guys on here I didn't even get to. There's a lot of guys this week where you can make arguments for them in GPPs. So, you know, follow your own nose, follow your own beliefs, follow your own preparation. If you have questions for me, hit me up on Twitter. I will be around probably most of the morning tomorrow. Perhaps a little bit intermittent between, say, 10 and 11:30, but I should be around after that. And that's going to do it for the DFS pod this week. You know, I did say I was going to get into my cash lineup, but I pretty much hit all the details. You know, it's my cash lineup's really going to have a lot to do, you know, with how these contingencies play out. Right now, I've got Mahomes in there as my quarterback. I've got Brown in there as one of my running backs. I've got Nuke in there. Who else? I've got Julio in there, but I'm sort of 50-50 on that. So I'm going to firm up my cash lineup tomorrow and try to give you guys a good feel for what, you know, for the GPP lineups that I've put together that I really like. But that's going to do it for the Saturday DFS pod. I will be back tomorrow with a little 10 to 15 minute pod. Jimmy and I will be live from 8 to 9 a.m. on WEEI. And I'm going to be sitting down in about an hour and putting the screws to my GPP article, which will be up on WEEI later today. So thanks for listening to the Rotobond pod. Thanks for patronizing Rotobond in general. Once again, if you guys have time to give the podcast a rating on whatever platform you listen on, I would absolutely appreciate that. And good luck this week. Let's go out and make some money.